will go to hell before I sit here and I watch this country and the world turned over to these savages. I'm done, I'm pissed, and I'm not putting up with it anymore. You Satanists want to sacrifice the West. You want to kill the beautiful goddess that is the West. You people are enemies, and we're going to get your asses, and we know what you're up to, and we're coming for you. Because I suck in anymore.
Hello, everybody. We're back again. It's episode 46 of Chapo. I am Will Miniker, and of course, joining me is Matt Chrisman.
Hello.
And Felix Biederman.
Hey, everyone.
How you guys doing?
Not bad. I woke up too late. I woke up at 1:30 today. I kept waking up before I went to sleep. So I'm going to, after this, I'm going to do deadlifts and squats and pull-ups and sprints so that I redline my body and vomit and then sleep for 18 hours and then wake up at my normal early time that I rise at 12.
Felix's sleep issues continue to be a problem, continue to plague him. Matt, how is everything going with you?
I'm okay. I caught some sort of disease in New York. I'm just now getting over. It might have been Zika. I don't know. All I know is the city is a goddamn hell broth of illness.
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt has cancer now. Any of the five women who listen to the show, I should not be alone because my friend has cancer. This is a hard time for me. Probably harder for me than it is for Matt. So just please keep us in your thoughts. Matt has cancer.
Stop it. Don't say that. You don't know this, but I'm a fucking hypochondriac.
I have cancer, too.
I've thought I've had cancer probably like the majority of my adult life.
I'll tell you what, I'm feeling pretty good myself. I don't have any lingering ailments or grievances, except that is until I woke up this morning and saw that the New Yorker had done a piece about Felix, and then it all just came rushing back. So this is the Chapo press clips for this one. Felix, you want to describe what the New Yorker did for you?
Oh, yeah. So Andrew Marantz from the New Yorker tailed me and Virgil, cousin to the Chapo family, while we recorded a digcast and had lunch with us. And we sort of talked about our pundit obsession, how we developed the Diggler character. And I had a big thing where I sort of listed everyone who's wronged me my entire life that I wanted to get in there, but they cut it, unfortunately. I will not be doing business with the New Yorker again, but pretty cool, very humbled, as they say. It's very humbling.
I'm humbled as well because I was interviewed by the New Yorker earlier this year about Alan Moore in Jerusalem, but they cut it out of the final article about him. So, again, just really happy for Felix. Not mad at all. It's actually funny to me. So anyway, we got a great guest for you guys this week. That boy, James Adomian, on the show. He's the guy who stole our idea about how to wring comedy material out of this election. So we're going to get him in the trap and confront him about that. And we're going to hopefully just slam him and get him to apologize to us for all the thieving he's done from Chapo Trap House. What do you say, guys? You ready to smoke this turkey?
Let's do it.
Let's do it up.
James Adomian, everybody. We got James Adomian in the trap, chilling. James, how's it going?
Hi, I'm all right.
Not bad.
It's nice to be here in the Park Slope Mansion.
Don't you love this palatial splendor that we live in?
It is. I mean, I think comfort like this is necessary for wrestling with the large ideas as you do on the show.
There's nothing too good for the revolutionary class, is what I always say.
I think of it kind of like a Viennese salon, and you know, you see the exotic animals that I brought in. I have a Tibetan vomiting cat over there.
How is one supposed to consider questions of dialectical materialism without a jacuzzi, I ask you.
That's a great point. We did have to, it was a two-part flight. You had to stop at the other place we record the show, at the CIA black site in Baku, Azerbaijan. But, you know.
I don't think I'd get through the border there. I'm Armenian.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, no Jews can enter the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, but guess where I summer?
Yeah, this interview is over. Anyway, so let's jump into it and what, you know, I know, James, I know you're super excited about. We're basically pre-gaming right now. We've been pre-gaming all day for the VP debate tonight.
I mean, I've been tailgating. You got your beers ready for the big debate? Like if they advertise the stuff for the same way they do the Super Bowl. Hey, ready to sit around with your friends and watch the big debate?
I don't know, Boomer. You know, you're going to see that, you know, Tim Kaine, he's going to go out there. He's going to go Miyamo Tim Kaine. And he's going to do, you know, he's going to do a hip-hop style pivot, the kind of running quarterback he is on the Hyde Amendment.
Dog, you got Mike Piss. Mike Piss, he comes to play. He comes to debate. Every debate, he's there to debate. You know, he brings his lunch pail to the debate. He's a very underrated debater. Watch out for Mike Piss tonight.
No, they said the first Clinton-Trump debate, I think, was the highest-rated presidential debate in American history. I think this is going to follow up by being the lowest-rated debate of any kind in American history. I think the spelling bee is probably going to do bigger numbers in this one.
This might rank lower than some of William F. Buckley's solo firing line episodes.
I'll punch myself in the goddamn face.
That's great. Buckley by himself.
Yeah. Well, I'm a goddamn queer.
I'll punch myself in my own goddamn rotten face.
Well, I hate myself inside.
For someone so weak bodied, I guess he was always threatening to punch people.
Oh, yeah, bone in his hand would disintegrate. He probably had numerous royal inbreeding diseases, like Habsburg plaster bone syndrome.
His idea of physical combat was like sending a meal back.
Now, I told Felix and Matt this. I'm going to take a slight digression now that we're on the firing line. But did you know in the famous TV appearance where he called Gore Vidal a goddamn queer? In the studio at the time, during for the live filming, was Gore Vidal's good friend Paul Newman.
I didn't know this.
Buckley thought he had, you know, he got it pretty good. But then immediately after the filming, Paul Newman cornered him and got up in his face and basically was like, "How dare you? I actually will sock you in the goddamn jaw." And Buckley was shook as hell.
Good for Paul Newman, yeah. What a hero.
Fucking A,
I've always
hero.
Liked him already, and now that just, like, that seals the deal.
No, the only
HUD came through.
You know,
I mean, Paul Newman, like, everyone did in the 1930s, because there was no video games. Everyone boxed growing up, unless you were William F. Buckley, and then you just, like, you dressed up like Nero and recited bullshit in Latin.
Like Nero.
The only person actually to successfully punch Gore Vidal was Norman Mailer.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Literally on a talk show, right?
No, it was at a party, I think. Okay. Or he threatened to do it on a talk show, but that he actually laid him out at a party, rumor has it that Gore Vidal said, from lying on the floor, "Words fail Norman again."
Oh, damn.
Anyway, back to enough of this literary gossip. Back to the VP debate. James, what do you make of our two heavyweight VP contenders, Mike Piss and Sutter Kane?
They're, like, offensively boring.
Yeah.
They're, like, radically boring and, like, incorrect. They're, like, two rotten cottage cheese cartons.
I think that's an unfair characterization of Tim Kaine. Myself, as I'm a pro-life investment banker, really excited about Tim Kaine.
So your investment strategy is always pro-life, no matter what investing in.
You know, like, I invested in Raytheon, whose bombs took out the last Planned Parenthood in Aleppo.
Oh, my God. So, Tim Kaine's the one that plays harmonica or something?
Yeah, yes. That's his one affectation.
I've lived through this since I was a kid, Bill Clinton playing saxophone and shit, and I just... why do I have to seriously, as a grown up, be like, oh, that's an interesting. The moron can play a musical instrument. No one should be allowed to like have a news cycle based on their stupid
you
little.
James, you're telling me you don't want to see a politician, you know, debate the issues, talk some fiscal responsibility, and then blow into that licorice.
I would rather they had like something instead of like, I can play harmonica to a room full of 50 something donors. Like, I love playing Stratego.
Do you think
be an incredible dork about something.
Do you think that they, like in like 1920, like the news cycle was like, Warren G. Harding has a hilarious blackface routine. It just like went probably to what the time was. Yeah.
Watch this kinetoscope of John Davis playing the Jew's harp.
Damn. No, but yeah, two of the most boring people in the world, they're gonna come on stage tonight. And you know, maybe Mike Pence can pick Trump back off the mat and land a knockout blow.
I hope they get church pews for the audience so it's harder to fall asleep.
The funniest thing about Pence is that he is so aggressively boring, but at the same time he's a complete freak.
Yeah.
When he was governor, he passed a bill in Indiana requiring women to have funerals for any miscarried children that they were.
Yes.
What?
Holy fuck.
I mean,
wait,
that's like,
I didn't know that.
Deeply perverted.
This is,
that's like deep. That's deep, like American Gothic shit.
Dude, that's
like
Victorian.
That's like fucking.
It is. He is. Like, he is the poster boy for mundane evil.
Yeah, it's like he's like, and he actually looks like this too. If you've ever seen The People Under the Stairs, Everett McGill in the leather with the shotgun. That's Mike Pence going, "Mommy," running around.
Mike Pence. Mike Pence could do his version of the Democrat voice. Where he could be like, "This may not be 19th century Dublin, but you will be taking spirit photographs with your infant."
My someone who I thought cared about me last night sent me an article about. Well, also what they would do in England, where they would pose the dead child like upright, and he would take a picture with them. And
world star.
That is very Mike Pence. Like Mike Pence, his next thing is that you're going to have to go to the Walmart Family Photography Center. With every with your fucking semen encrusted sock.
It's a backdoor like bailout for mall photographers.
Oh. I'm just thinking like the cheesy backgrounds and kind of like that image within an image. Yeah. Where it's just you smiling and then like, you know, just a dead baby.
Can you put Wolverine over my dead daughter?
We have some Thomas Kincaid inspired backgrounds.
The painter of light.
A cottage with a twirl of smoke coming out of it.
Can you make it look
and
like
that's the child? That's your child's spirit.
It's a swirl of ectoplasm coming out. That's what's going on.
Can you make it look like I'm in the Matrix with this fetus in a jar that we preserved?
Hopefully this will come up tonight at the end.
I hope it does, yeah.
I hope they ask him a question about making people have a funeral for their aborted baby or miscarried child. Yeah,
what are these two guys supposed to do for the respective tickets that they're on? I guess
like
Mike
nothing.
Pence,
that's kind of the point. Though,
Mike Pence
right?
is supposed to be like, "Don't worry, when Trump is impeached in 6 months, I'll be your
yeah,
guy."
Yeah, I think so.
I'm basically
he was the bridge to regular weirdo Christian conservative freaks, the ones who are like, "I like that Trump talks about killing immigrants and stuff, but where's the thing
where's
about
the Jesus?
Abortionists and where's Jesus?" And that's Pence is like, "Don't worry, folks. I'm a religious freak from long back, and I've got his back." So that he's like he's the connection to the old moral majority conservatives. Tim Kaine is like nothing. The idea that like, oh, he speaks Spanish, like there's this weird fetish that Beltway reporters have that they think, ooh, if somebody speaks Spanish, then Latinos are just going to like fall over themselves to vote for them.
I mean, like, is it good Spanish or can he just like awkwardly order a burrito?
No, he's pretty good. he spent time like in Central America and stuff. He actually does speak pretty good Spanish.
Because I can awkwardly order a burrito.
Why would you give a shit? Why would you care?
I mean, like, if I mean, what entrances? Look, Latino voters aren't like regular people with hopes and dreams and things that they hope that the government would represent better in them. They really just like when they hear their native tongue, when they hear a guy who knows Spanish fluently because he went to teach the poorest villagers in South America how to convert to Opus Dei, wherever the fuck he was doing down there. They're like, yeah, no, like that's me. Yeah. One vote for Hillary, please.
He's got Virginia. He's helping lock down Virginia, right?
Well, yeah, I think I remember reading that
swing state Virginia.
He was going to be Hillary's guy in 2008 because, you know, he was a relatively popular Democratic governor of sort of a purple to red state. And also, there apparently are no major skeletons in the closet. Like, he doesn't have a secret family or anything weird like that.
Rubio.
Yeah, but now the knock on him is that he represented criminals as a defense attorney, which I think is horribly damning.
No.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, well, let's see. Will Tim Kaine attack Mike Pence for making you cradle your miscarriage? And will
Tim Kaine is into that, too. He's like an open
guy. Yeah, he's a key. Yeah. Well, let's not go there again.
Sorry, pagans.
But James, like as a comedian, I'm sure there's a lot of demand for a Tim Kaine impression.
I have been called a comedian, but I refuse to accept that label.
Okay. As a humorist.
Sure. Humorist is like if you're a comedian, but you write for The New Yorker. Laughs.
It's Scott Adams. Scott Adams is America's finest humorist.
I consider a humorist someone who makes wry observations.
By the way, Scott Adams, I loved Dilbert when I was growing up, and now he's this like tiptoeing Trump apologist.
Not even. He's like Trump's most...
Which is
visible apologist.
Yes, but he's still like, I'm kind of advocating Trump.
Okay, actually, let's talk about Scott Adams for a second.
I want to come back to that other thing.
Because, we'll come back to this, but like, okay, Scott Adams earlier this year tried to do this half-assed thing where, okay, he believes himself to be a master of persuasion.
Which is, once you know that about him, it's very easy to just be like, I disagree with you now on everything.
he claims to have taken extensive training in hypnotism and has like understands deeply the power of suggestion. Like he has some sifu that's like taught him that in a Tibetan monastery or something. And he did this half-assed thing earlier in the year where he said, look, I just want to get this out there. I'm voting for Hillary. Okay, Hillary, she's my gal. I'm casting my vote for Hillary. And then proceed to make an elaborate case against Hillary and for Trump. But he's like, just so you know, I've inoculated myself against any criticism because I told you in the first paragraph that I'm voting for Hillary. And I was like, ooh, he's got me. No one can see through this. But now he's walked that back and says that he's changed his mind. He's just straight up voting for Trump. And he's on this kind of weird like men's rights kick.
He's naked a lot, too. He's always posting his naked torso.
I just like to think whenever I see him defending Trump or talking about being a middle-aged fitness guy, like I picture Dilbert doing all those things.
Dilbert? Yeah, well, it's like Dilbert.
Dilbert himself.
Dilbert after the ravages of family court, after the tyranny of family court. Dilbert's like, I thought the American corporation was evil, but it's not emasculating men like Judge Ellen Tao.
Scott Adams is actually Dilbert after one of Caleb Horton's versions of Dilbert came true.
Yeah.
But, no. And
the thing is, you knew he was going to be a freak, though, even when he was saying, I'm voting for Hillary, because his rationale was, he said, well, those Hillary people, they're really passionate and they're really... get mad at people who support Trump, and if he were to win and I endorsed him, I might get murdered.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Like, he said and that with a straight face.
And he just did this thing this week where he was like, you know, Trump supporters, like, at me if you've been threatened for wearing, like, a Make America Great hat.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
And it produced some of the funniest...
Best thread. Best thread.
It produced some of the funniest results ever, including one that I had to like look at this person's timeline to make sure that they were for real, and they 100% were. This woman related a story about going to Chili's wearing a Donald Trump or like a Make America Great pin with her husband or something like that, and said the waiter brought their food late, brought it burned, and worst of all, gave her an iced tea with 13 lemon seeds in it. Which I gotta say, I think that was a low-key microaggression.
That was,
13
yeah.
fucking 13 lemon seeds in your iced tea?
That's like 4 lemons worth of seeds.
and then Scott Adams was like, Hillary was directing trolls to this hashtag. Like, it just shows the power of the case I'm making.
There should be a hashtag 13 seeds.
it's like in the TV show Rome when they go, remember the 13th. That's like that is the Spartans of the Trump.
We who have survived the dosing of our teas with far more lemon seeds than necessary.
They try to silence me by putting half a pack of Splenda when I said real sugar. You will not silence me. I am Stephen Biko. I am Mandela. I am Madiba.
This is another reason that I'm not really afraid of these guys taking to the streets and overthrowing democracy. Because they feel like they're being attacked when they get too many lemon seeds in their iced tea.
If
they don't got the sand.
If the Trump people took to the streets, it would look a lot like a buffet at a Las Vegas casino spilling out into the streets.
The funniest thing about the iced tea incident was that like the Chili's corporate account replied to this woman and was like, "Oh, we're so sorry. Like, what can we do? Like, what can we do to like correct
our
this?
Policy
like,
is to never have more than 8 lemon seeds."
and then she replied, "Oh no, buddy, you think I'm gonna fall for this after what you did? And you support Hillary? You want my personal information? No way, Mister."
They're gonna start mailing her lemon seeds.
it'll be like Gary Webb. It'll be like, she killed herself by swallowing 8 whole lemons.
Yeah. Well, there was one lethal lemon, and then she reloaded another lemon and choked to death on that one.
There's two
lemons.
When these people spill out onto the streets, if Trump loses, I don't know if America could survive the Occupy Sizzlers movement.
But back to Scott Adams, I think it's great that, like, yeah, he is on this, like, well, first of all, any guy who proudly says that, like, he's studied persuasion and hypnotism, like, it's the Venn diagram between that and, like, PUA, sort of, like, street magician.
Here's the first rule.
Basically a circle.
If you've studied hypnotism and, like, persuading people, the first rule should be shut the fuck up about it.
Every single
a wizard who goes around going, I am a wizard, is a bad wizard.
Every single person who's like, I've studied social dynamics, that just means, like, oh, I didn't, like, have a friend until I was 32.
I read a book.
Like, these things are all self-evident to people who grew up, like, socialized.
But I just think it's funny because, like, I mean, it makes sense that he's on this, like, pseudo men's rights kick, because I think he started out like, I think, making a very powerful statement of like, what if someone did Kathy but a guy?
yeah. Spreadsheets. Ack.
No. Like, Dilbert's just like in an. He's like, oh, bathing suit weather again. Women only date men who are 6 feet tall or over. Ack.
I tried to fight Beaumont. I lost.
And it is true. Dilbert is incel. I mean, that's canon.
Oh, yeah.
Which, by the way, is a ripoff of John Arbuckle.
Yeah, well, John Arbuckle
involuntary cell.
No, John Arbuckle was like a beta male. He was like a beta,
Garfield.
Arbuckle was like a beta cuck, and Garfield was a foreigner. It was like, that was a metaphor. Like, Garfield was like, he represented foreigners.
He's like a Syrian refugee living in his house.
Garfield was a Syrian refugee leeching off social services, and this beta cuck is like, sure, you can live with me. Oh, you instituted Sharia in my house. Oh, I'm just
look how Garfield treated Nirmal.
Yeah, Nirmal was represented all women. And Odie, Odie represented Christians.
And where was he trying to send him? Abu Dhabi,
yes. To a madrasa.
Guys,
re-education.
But fucking Dilbert was like Elliot Rodger. Like, he was woke, like, he was red pilled, but he was still an incel.
This is an issue where I have to separate the artist from the man. Well, Dilbert, I think, will last hundreds of years, if not thousands. And yet Scott Adams, I think, has some troubling political ideas in our current times.
Well, it's something,
one of these ideas you just have to really engage with, and I think it's not easy. It's very much not easy for art history students.
I wonder what Jim Davis's politics are, because I got some news for you. I remember, John Arbuckle's thing was that he was always trying to hook up with the hot lady vet, right?
Yeah, but he's a nice guy. He's a beta cuck.
Yeah, he's a beta cuck, nice guy, always trying to, you know, get a date with the vet.
Liz.
Yeah.
Liz was banging. She looked like the girl from Fantagram.
My sources tell me that in the current Garfield strip that's still running, John is actually dating and lives with Liz the vet.
Oh, he did.
So he smashed.
He did. Yeah, he smashed.
He finally smashed after like 30 years.
Yeah.
So I hate that, by the way. I think Jim Davis sold out.
That's fucked up. That's just like giving in to the libs who read it. Like it should be a true morality tale, and he should still be getting cucked, and he should still be
still
like
Garfield.
Garfield should be even more bold, representing Islamic refugees. Garfield will be like, oh, I threw out all your food that isn't halal. You can only cook halal lasagna. Mondays are haram, and Arbuckle is. Oh, well, I guess it's different cultures. Oh, hold on. I have to watch Liz bang another guy.
I really like the direction this conversation is taking.
Me too. I've been sitting on these thoughts for many years.
I mean,
what I first thought when I read Garfield 3 weeks ago.
I mean, I can picture that as an actual like current day alt-right webpage or something.
Yeah.
Like a meme that very well might exist already.
Well,
it's pretty easy to replace Garfield.
90%
quotes.
Sure, there's an account on DeviantArt that is just alt-right Garfield.
Yeah, like John Arbuckle.
But Garfield with a dick. Yeah. Like that's the only thing. Garfield has a dick.
He's not a
Nazi. Can the Far Side come back, please? Gary Larson, if you're listening to it.
Gary Larson probably listens to a lot of podcasts.
He's got a lot of time of it on his
hands.
Think
he fucks with us?
I bet he would.
If Gary Larson and Bill Corbett, that's like two of the best early mid-90s like old comedy.
Yeah.
There is. So
all right, so moving on from Scott Adams and the funny pages, oh, wait, one more thing about Scott.
We've gone from the funny people.
My favorite thing that Scott Adams said this summer was...
sorry, I just messed up someone's bill.
Was he said that when women buy men V-neck cashmere sweaters, they're emasculating them.
That's true. That's totally
so true. So if you have women in your life and they buy you a V-neck cashmere sweater, throw that shit back. Throw it away.
Well, it's like soy that goes on your skin.
How liberating to live under a crushing stricture of gender rules like that, where your existence can be crumbled by a piece of clothing that's in the wrong shape.
Crew neck, I'd be fine. V-neck, I just no blood flow
V-neck,
anymore.
What do you call me, a cuck?
A V-neck is
I mean, what does the V stand for?
Oh, yeah, ooh, yeah. It's
do
like,
the math.
It's like it is a vulva, and it is like a big billboard above your head that says knockout game, mate.
That's true.
That's why I only wear D-neck sweaters. Real masculine sweaters.
Wait, what letter?
D, baby. D-neck,
yeah. D, baby.
I have like the Laverne and Shirley monogram sweater, but it's just a dick over the left breast pocket. Let people know I'm an alpha.
Did you know that I was in combat and the only thing that saved my life was my the dragon print on my shirt that I was wearing? the bullet was deflected by the dragon print.
Yeah, I have a soldier that saved my life. His name is Ed Hardy.
He's there in that trench with you.
Like I said,
there are no cucks in a foxhole.
Well, episode title right there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay, I wanted to bring up this story. We had some fun with this earlier in the week when it came out, but it's too good not to talk about on the show. I'm just going to read the headline. A quick hit here. Christie aides reportedly plan to use 9/11 artifacts as assets in his 2016 campaign. And this is something that's come out during the Bridgegate trial, the New York Times covering it. It says...
Now, Christie aides... For a second, I imagined that was like a person's name, or like
Christie AIDS,
like a stage persona as of some idiot.
My wife, Christine AIDS.
It's the worst porn star name in history. Christie AIDS. No, this is Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey. Back when he actually thought he had a chance at becoming president. He says, they saw the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey and its resources, money, jobs, symbolic artifacts from the wreckage of the World Trade Center after the September 11th terrorist attacks as assets that could be traded for endorsements and support in both campaigns. Now, they didn't actually apparently go through this, and I don't think it's probably because he didn't get far enough in the presidential process.
It's a partial limited hangout. We have evidence that they've gone forward with this plan.
But just how fucking great is that idea, though?
It fucking rules. I love Chris Christie. Like, Chris Christie, his finest moment in the debate, like, before he flamed out, like, he sort of burnt out.
He just bodied
like,
Marco
like a,
Rubio.
Like a, candle lit by whale fat.
he spontaneously combusted. Yeah.
But before that happened, like, Rand Paul was doing his, like, by your logic, he was like, you took assistance for president. You hugged President Obama after the hurricane. And Chris Christie went, you know the hugs I do remember? When I was covered in the dust from the towers. Like, 9/11 was like his, that was his crutch the entire time.
Wait, Chris Christie was at Ground Zero?
Well, he was the
buying a fucking hot dog?
He said he was walking around giving people hugs, which is like, if I like saw my family
That's one of the ways
up,
he can eat someone.
If I saw my family blow up in the tower, and I see there's just a, oh, good, the morbidly obese federal prosecutor is here. Everything's going to be great. Like, the fucking yelling guy is here. Great.
I just love the idea of him, like, going to some shitty New Hampshire town with his entourage, and he's got, like, a fistful of, like, index fingers from first responders. Okay, hey, who wants one? Hey, how you got? What do you want? You want a finger? Hey, I got fingers. I got toes. What do you want? I got teeth.
They're,
teeth.
You can pray with them. You can pray with them with a rosary. They're like, they're magical powers.
Yeah.
Like a saint's relic.
I do blame
relic.
The Catholic Church for this, because this is
definitely
some Catholic
shit.
Like, icon worship.
This is the relics of the saints here. Yeah.
Hey, I got a piece of the famous original Twin Towers over here. Who wants it?
You know, it is like Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail, because there was the sacred Big Gulp cup that a first responder dropped in the towers and is covered in 9/11 dust, and if you drink for it, you'll have eternal life and none of your descendants will ever forget 9/11. But if you drink from the wrong Big Gulp,
it's thermite.
Felix, he's going, only the corpulent man may pass. Only the corpulent man may pass.
I do wonder, though, like,
and the temple starts shaking and falling apart, but that's just from him walking through the building.
Was he going to use that shit that's in that that warehouse that Jesse Ventura could
Yep, the doors are closed. That means they're hiding something. Piggly Wiggly doesn't close at 10. That's my favorite thing on the conspiracy theory show. He walked up to a 50-foot airport hangar door and banged on it and was like, we know you're in there. What are you hiding?
And
there's no one. It's a giant door that takes probably six people to open it. And he's like, they're not opening. That means it's true.
The best part of it is that he was like, he implied like they should open it for him because he used to be the governor.
Yes.
I was a governor of a different state.
Don't you remember I was the joke governor that he shamed the entire nation?
I was a governor. I had clearance. I've seen documents. Have you seen documents? I live on a diet of documents.
I like that. He was governor of fucking Minnesota, and he's like, yeah, I organized the mini Ha Ha Falls charity run. You have to show me the 9/11 stuff.
I could see Canada from my backyard.
Secrets, cover-ups, corruption. You think you know the whole story? Think again. I've been governor, a Navy SEAL, a fighter. I've heard things that'll blow your mind. And now I think it's time you get the whole story.
Now, the secret government plan to spy on, round up, and imprison innocent Americans.
Anybody that seeks to challenge the status quo could potentially be a violent threat.
Jesse Ventura uncovers a plot to force martial law on law-abiding citizens.
Certainly the involvement of the military is something that's very concerning.
Replace the 50 states with 10 giant prison sectors. Fill up hundreds of concentration camps with people like you and me.
They call them residential centers.
Residential centers with fences?
Because they're designed to hold whole families.
And pull the trigger with a disease pandemic.
There's this massive preparation, literal megadeth.
It's not a fantasy. The wheels are in motion. and politicians are passing laws to steal our freedoms and protect the elite.
I'm here to talk to you about these FEMA camps.
They don't exist.
So why was it put into that bill?
Before it's too late, Jesse Ventura cuts through the razor wire, storms the prisons, and blasts open the American concentration camp conspiracy.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
Oh, man. James, you should come back and we should do a whole episode just on Jesse Ventura, yeah. The show Conspiracy.
Well, you know, I did bring a few friends with me here today.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is how it's usually set up, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I might have to take a break and I might have to let some of the friends like Slavoj Žižek or Jesse Ventura fill in for me where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Christie's 9/11 artifacts. A commemorative plate.
Hallelujah. It is the final piece. There's some crazy collector trying to rebuild it.
If that MTV show, My Like Super Sweet 16, was still on, like that's like Chaim Saban's daughter. He's like, well, my daughter wants to, she wants his 16th birthday to be in the recreated World Trade Center. An exhibit is going to perform at Tower 7.
We're building a struct. We're building a scale model of the Twin Towers to prove that they couldn't have come down from fire. And we're planning on putting a large number of people inside that may or may not fall victim to this scientific experiment.
That would be the most noble way to die, is to die in like a replica 9/11 to prove that it was an inside job.
All right.
Well, you know Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he's a friend of mine, and he really wanted to do this for a while. He wanted to actually play JFK in a live fire reenactment of Dealey Plaza, just to prove that the shot was impossible. And literally everyone who knew him was like, "Please don't do that. Please don't do that."
Triangulation of fire. That's the key. See, that's the key. Sorry, my favorite 9/11 sort of Twin Tower memorabilia and recreation shit is Chris Christie adjacent is the former governor of New York, George Pataki, who is another fucking moron. But back in 2003, when the U.S. invaded Iraq, and there was that famous news footage that everyone...
When Iraq was policed by the world community, you mean?
Liberated?
Yeah.
Back when America liberated Iraq, the sign of that liberation was that great news footage of us pulling down the statue of Saddam in the middle of Baghdad, right? And when that happened, George Pataki said, I think they should ship that statue back to America, melt it down, and put it in the foundations of the new Twin Towers.
Brilliant.
I remember that. That owned so hard.
Just to remind people,
I think they should have, fuck that.
What we were fighting
for.
Have
made the Freedom Tower in the shape of Saddam Hussein. That would have really owned him.
Why do you want melted Saddam Hussein pools at the bottom of the new tower?
No, just like, melt it down and make like a single piece of rebar out of it and just put it somewhere in the new Twin Towers to be like, this is what we're fighting for, America.
Well, there's a
that's we showed a, you
that's
revenge.
A guy whose first instinct is always, how can I create cost overages? What's the most expensive way to build something?
All right, guys, when we finally kill Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi from ISIS, what we're going to do is we're going to cremate him. We're going to bind him into the book binding of the Bible that Hillary Clinton is going to swear in on. We finally refute ISIS.
Yeah, I'm a serious American politician, and one of the things I favor of, a magical symbolism of melting a thing down and putting it in another thing. That's freedom for you.
That's like in How High when they pass the test by smoking their friend's ashes. Like we can only maintain freedom by using Saddam's memory. It's the same type of magic. Maybe it was George Pataki letting it slip that he's actually a Baathist. Like, sure. He didn't do it because he thought Saddam did 9/11, but he was like, I really support the Ba'ath Party and its goals.
He's a
pan-Arabist.
He's a secret Ba'athist.
Yeah.
Don't throw the baby out with the Ba'ath Party water.
Now, coming off of, Christie's 9/11 Sacred Bones. The other story I wanted to bring up briefly was the thing that happened this week where the leaked audio about how Hillary Clinton told one of her fancy fundraisers to her supporters that, you know, Bernie Sanders supporters, he just doesn't get their kids that want it all, but they're living in their parents' basement, and they just don't get why we can't be like Sweden.
Well, first of all, it's obviously a Russian operation revealing the absolute disdain that the Democratic Party has for the people who were lured into voting for it. That's a Brezhnev move if I've ever seen one.
Beria started it, actually. Beria, yeah.
Good one. Beria, nice reach.
Well, this is, we try to honor the memory of Beria on this show. That's like a big founding charter of
and
the
show.
And
then that memory will be purged at some point in the future?
Yeah, no, I mean,
it'll
know,
be
we'll
edited out
it,
later.
Right.
It'll be like, you know, we're going to put the show out with the reference included for about a week, and then we're going to go back in and surreptitiously change the file and remove it like a week
that
later.
That would be awesome. Actual purge.
We love gaslighting the listeners. That's our favorite thing to do.
No, there was never a political bent to this.
Well, the turn to this story about the Bernie's basement dwelling fans is talk about gaslighting. Bernie himself came out and defended Hillary on this remark, or said that he understood where she was coming
from. My fans are fucking losers.
And I just got to say,
in my view, dwelling in a basement is a valid form of political involvement.
My, no one who voted for me has fucked.
Now, until this happened, just until this week, I was willing to say that Bernie Sanders was among, in the top tier of like highest T politicians, at least in the West. But now,
yeah.
High T.
Yeah, I think he's cucked himself.
He's cucked. The only high T politician left, you know, besides Trump and Pence, Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn.
I got 13 seeds in my high tea.
Also, Rodrigo Duterte. Don't forget him.
True.
Yeah, I said in the West. In the West. But if we're going globally, definitely the guy who called Obama's mother a whore and threatened to Holocaust drug users. That dude fucking rules.
He's the man.
Yeah.
Oh, and shout out to Kyle for inviting me to like Duterte voices on Facebook. Thank you, Kyle.
What's that like?
Pretty good. Pretty goddamn good.
But, you know, Jeremy Corbyn.
Jeremy Corbyn.
That dude fucks.
You know what I want? I just want the Democratic Party to have to be as open and blatant as the Labour Party in the UK.
And how much they hate the people.
Well, the
Labour
Party's like, you have been purged. And they send you a note card. And they're like, you're purged because you support Jeremy Corbyn and we don't want you here. And the Democrats are like, well, we have all these secret ways of making you not able to vote.
Yeah.
And we'll deny that we do that.
But, I mean, the best part, though, about the Blairite and sort of Owen Jones wing of the Labour Party trying to purge the Corbyn supporters and Corbyn himself, like their biggest attempt to like get Corbyn out of the party was like to have a meeting and be like, Jezza, you have to leave. Jezza, you have to go. Jezza, you don't know how bad you look you all by not leaving the meeting. And then just like got fucking crushed anyway. Like that was all they had.
Well, yeah, their whole strategy was we're going to make it too embarrassing for him. We're going to be like, we're all resigning. This is all terribly embarrassing. Let's just end it. And he's just like, he's gardening and not even paying attention. And they're like, ahem, ahem. We're all very, very embarrassed right now, Jeremy.
I have a
Jeremy, please.
I have a serious opinion piece that has come out the day after Jeremy Corbyn's victory, in which I argue that his victory is actually his defeat.
When he finally reads it, he will be forced by his own righteousness to resign. There's no other choice for him.
Yes. If he is truly the revolutionary he claims to be, he will surrender to the forces that always beat revolution.
Guys, I just want to pause briefly because I want to make sure we don't record over.
Yeah, we just had to switch tapes over there, man. You're listening to Overnights. This is Freeform Talk Radio. Freeform, the last of a... Every city has some guy late at night who's like, this is the last of Freeform Radio.
We're unplaylisted. We're on Chapo.
We're coast to coast, but, you know, from, like, Izmir to Istanbul.
Again, Armenian. Locked out of this.
I know, yeah. I'm sorry. Like it's like we didn't choose to have it this way. Where AKP sponsored our podcast, but it just kind of.
You have to give them this. That's a bold and unpredictable move there.
It is. It is. And they bought us these XLR mics.
Show up at the Brookings Institute beating up protesters in the street and sponsor a podcast.
Yeah, no. It's like you have to always, if you don't know what you're doing next, your enemies sure as hell don't know what you're doing next.
The left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. That's my fancy way of saying that I have uncontrollable ambidextrosity. It's a serious medical condition where the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing.
Oh, fuck me.
What was the basement dwellers?
Hillary was, she was just doing like the Democrat thing where she's like, ah, these kids are unrealistic. And
now I gathered from the tone of it that it sounded like she was trying to be nice to what she saw as basement dwellers in a private audience to very rich people.
Yeah,
who cause people to dwell in basements.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I thought that she, I mean, it was kind of gross. I wasn't a huge fan of, I mean, it's kind of. It's sort of how you would imagine that she would think, like, just condescending, being like, they don't understand the realities of politics that I, you know, have worked my whole life to create.
They don't understand that politics is decided in rich people's backyards.
Yeah. But the thing she said at the end is that really, really got me was, she's saying all this stuff about, oh, you know, they want this stuff from Scandinavia. They don't necessarily know what that means, but they know they want it. And then she says, we need to teach them that there are other things that need to be done, and they need to see those as great advances. She literally is saying that it's her job to define people's expectations downward. And it's like, Jesus, that's always a recipe for a mobilized electorate that gets a lot of stuff done.
People love to be told the stuff that they like sucks. That is, it's nagging. Hillary is nagging the millennial voters. And she just has
what's
to
so amazing
it.
is like she acts like this is a hard-nosed realism, but if your opening bid is low, then you're going to settle lower than you would if you had a higher opening bid.
Matt.
That's the thing. All Bernie was ever doing was kind of brilliantly negotiating for what the ruling class was most likely to collapse back to. Like,
right.
The New Deal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, like what, like 70 years ago.
If we got half of what Bernie was pushing for, that would have been an incredible victory.
That's
right. Like, they never understood that. They're always like, well, you know, you guys have Bernie is your perfect candidate, but that's not realism. Bernie was never anybody's perfect candidate. He was already a compromise candidate.
Yes.
Right.
He was already a compromise.
Exactly. Well, it was a realistic choice. They don't conceive of they don't realize that you have to have big demands.
We did Trump versus Bernie shows in Europe, and it was like there were some things that went over there even better than they did here. Where I would be like, we are fighting merely to have a national healthcare system. Yes, the most radical person in politics in the United States of America is a center-right candidate here in Ireland or wherever we were.
But Democrats are such shitty negotiators that, it
kind of shows that they're not really negotiating.
Yeah, I don't think they're trying to negotiate.
They're not trying to, but, I mean, if they're taking that thing like, oh, well, you know, you have to compromise, well, you don't start out from the compromised position. That's like not how you do it. That's sort of, it's very William H. Macy in Fargo attempted politics.
Yeah, but I guarantee you your money back.
I'm not talking about your damn word, Jerry. Jeez, what the heck are you?
We're not a bank, Jerry.
They're not actually negotiating because, like, what you said, like, Matt, what you said about, well, that's a recipe to have, like, a mobilized electorate that's going to get a lot of shit done. I don't think she wants to get shit done.
Well,
I think she just wants to, like, manage the status quo.
At the end of that quote, she was saying, like, it's her job and it's their job as Democrats to manage people's expectations downward. Like, they have an agenda. It's not the agenda of their voters, and they need to mask that disconnect any way they can.
Matt, as we were talking and like this idea that, you know, Hillary, her job, at least as far as millennials and young people goes, is to neg them and manage their expectations downward and tell them that the things they like actually suck. I'm thinking they should hire you to give her some good material about how everyone's favorite TV show is actually not very good.
I could what do that. TV I'd be like, hey, you kids, you think you're smart? You think you know everything? Well, guess what? Prestige TV is a lie. Mr. Robot, garbage. Whatever the fuck on HBO you like now, other robot shows, Dragon Swords, also bad. And they'd be like, fuck.
Maybe they'd be like, I don't believe in nothing no more. I'm becoming a banker.
I liked, look, the LA Times, I think the New York Times did it too, but the LA Times put out like a map of Los Angeles County where it showed precinct by precinct where Bernie won and where Hillary won. And obviously this is, you know, after voter suppression, which I saw firsthand and all that stuff, but it's the official numbers that went out. Bernie Sanders won all the cool places that anyone would ever want to hang out. And as soon as you go above it, like into the hills where all the mansions are, it's 100% Hillary Clinton, except for Topanga Canyon where all the rich hippies live. And it's like a small little area in Malibu. But it was like, it's geographically stark. It's like wherever, it was like wherever there's a neighborhood where there's nothing to do except go to some rich person's house if you're so lucky. 100% of the time voted for Hillary Clinton.
If you have key parties with Teslas, you're voting for Hillary Clinton.
Interestingly, Venice Beach was a patchwork quilt block by block for one or the other.
We're gentrifying it, right? Like there,
Venice Beach is in major flux. It's like it's been gentrified several times. And now it's like the tech people coming down and trying to actually physically eat the neighborhood. Like, you know, what is it like of the much feared nanotechnology that might like eat the earth?
It'll make us into goo.
That's kind of what Silicon Valley's already doing when they find a neighborhood like Venice Beach that they want to
consume. Literally the thing from The Simpsons where the homeless man turns into a mailbox. Yeah. In the video.
Look at this place.
Somebody ought to build a town that works.
Somebody did. Cypress Creek, where dreams come true.
Your dreams may vary from those of Globex Corporation, its subsidiaries, and shareholders.
Okay, now, this is the last thing I wanted to ask you about. I'm asking about it because I literally don't know. It's just something I've seen. Maybe you guys can fill me in. Why do all the dumbest libs on Twitter, why have they all changed their AV to Kermit the Frog this week?
Oh, I didn't notice.
What's going on there?
It's John Chait. John Chait, baby.
Is this Jonathan Chait?
Josh Marshall.
Leah fucking drunken Kosok would think this is a good idea.
It's like,
the liberals need their own frog to go against Pepe.
What an idiot.
The boringest
what
the fuck? On earth. Put Kermit in their avatars.
Oh, what the fuck is going on?
I'm just imagining if, like, in the early 30s when the Nazis were gaining power, a bunch of people pinning, like, the Katzenjammer kids to their shirts.
So it's like it's like one of these things, like the parentheses, or, you know, when you change your avatar to something to, like, support the green revolution in Iran. It's like the dumbest, most pointless shit imaginable.
I have proudly never changed
everyone.
My avatar to anything but another picture of myself.
All right. Well, before we let James go, should we just, like, fire some requests for impressions at him? Just, you know, dance, monkey, dance. Let's do some improv. Like, we'll give you, like, a location and a character.
Oh, great. Hopefully these are ones that I do.
No, I'm going to go with, all right, Slavoj Žižek teaching a sex ed class.
This is the crisis that is faced by the American prophylactic industry. And that is the crisis is international in scope, where Madonna could produce these fantasies of sexuality. Well, the issue of the issue itself is caught, in fact, inside of the condom, or whatever. Or if in more of the analysis, in more of the analysis of the... Lacanian analysis, wherein an IUD would be a more appropriate term, these systems. And for this oppression, it is to me personally castration.
Okay. my gut. But
he looks like a melting Star Wars character.
JJ, if you're listening, there's still time to get him in one of those movies. It's just a little cameo. All right, can we do...
The Force is, in many ways, a distraction from Clash Christ.
I think that's true, actually. That's true. Can we get alt-right Paul Giamatti?
Oh, well, here I am, folks. I'm a real sack of Pepe. Let's put it that way. I've been kicked around so fucking long that I am no longer going to stand for being a cuckold. I have now joined with a movement that has assured me that after a mere 6 months of blatant, overt cuckoldry, that I will be elevated at least to the status of a beta fucking man. The alt fucking right. That's right. I'm cleaning up Milo Yiannopoulos' spooch. That's what I'm doing. That's the new job, you folks. And it's just all the ideas that maybe somebody would one day want to have sex with me in a manner that's not necessarily fisting.
Okay. Fuck. Before I have a heart attack. Okay, last one.
I've had a dominatrix who, part of what she did to me was deliberately give me heart attacks as part of the submission process. And that's just fucking fantastic.
spinning off that.
America's favorite fucking Eeyore.
Spinning off that, the last one. Can we get Bernie Sanders trying to requesting to be fin-dommed? Bernie Sanders being a pay pig.
Look, the top 1% of the top 10% of the top 1% of the income received by financial dominatrixes, I think, comes from legitimate economic activity. In my view, the surplus income earned by a sitting United States senator should, by rights, go to working class fine dominatrixes. Together, I think this is something we can achieve.
James Adomian, thanks so much for coming to the trap, dude.
Trappos, thank you. This has been fun.
This is awesome. Please come back anytime you're available.
Yeah. Bang.
Let's put it together.
Bang it out. All right. Squad.
We're fisting right now.
Cam boys.
I'm black, okay? I'm black. Okay? I'm an African American.
Black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black, yo, because I'm black and I'm black. Yo, I'm black and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blickety black, 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 I'm black, I'm black, 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 y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than...
You better release it all within 12 hours or you're done.
We've been wiki-rolled. That's what they're saying on Twitter.
Wiki-rolled.
We've been wiki-rolled.
Wiki-rolled. Instead of...
Who bought them TVs, bitch? Tell me that! Move, bitch! Get out the way! Get out the way, bitch! Get out the way! Move, move, bitch! Get out the way! Get out the way, bitch! Get out the way! Move, bitch! Get out the way! I mean, you get out the way, man.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
You bitched us? You think you rolled us? Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet, Assange.
I thought we were in an info war. I don't know what these guys were doing up here.
I'm rolling Hillary. I'm the dark heart. We ain't backing down. Just because you're a fake chump, don't think we are.
That was soft.
Get ready.
That was soft.
I'll double down because of this. I won't be associated with you.
Now we have to
Who bought them TVs, bitch? Tell me that.
We have to
make up. Better be from my turbo.